It gets going tomorrow. The defending national champions in college football taking on the Texas Longhorns, the Ohio State Buckeyes. That's going to be a game and a half. I'm Jeff Elmes. My partner's Andy Baskin, joining us on the Fan Hotline. The most entertaining person that we've ever had on the show, he's Tim May. Hello, Tim.
Hey, fellas, but I'm feverishly resetting my watch because I thought the game was only going to be 60 minutes. I didn't know it was going to be 90.
But I digress. Yes.
That's why I like calling in y'all show. I learn stuff.
See?
What do you think about the atmosphere around this one? This is as good as it gets, doesn't it? For a regular season game?
Yeah.
You got all these little storylines popping up over here and there. It should be a fun day, right?
Yeah. All we've had is 8 months to talk about this damn thing.
That's
number
true.
One.
Yeah,
to talk about how to talk about how Arch Manning is the Heisman favorite. I mean, you know, he started what, two, maybe three games in his career. So we'll see how that goes. I just reminded a club here I was just speaking to like 5 minutes ago that Ron Pallas was supposed to win what, three Heisman trophies? Well, according to Beano Cook.
He didn't
way back when.
I thought
and
he did.
And all Ohio State did was beat him, what, 2 years in a row, I think.
Yeah.
But it didn't come to fruition. Bottom line is, Arch Manning is damn good. We all know that. But I keep reminding people, so is Julian saying, you know? And I'm just curious, going in thinking about tomorrow, the main thing I'm curious about is, do these coaches have the confidence to just let these guys play the game? I don't mean be reckless by any stretch, but let them play their game, even though they're both first-time, full-time starters. So that'll be as interesting to watch as anything. But in order to do that, both of the offensive lines are going to have to protect against defenses that are going to be coming after them. So that's where the dynamic of this game is going to pivot, is which offensive line handles the other defensive line or defensive front with more aplomb. I like saying a plum.
That's a good word. Cleveland's plum. I don't know if you know that. New York was the Big Apple.
Plum City.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Long time ago.
It is.
Yeah, I'm glad.
Low-hanging plums.
Yeah, well, I'm glad we don't really talk about it anymore. It was weak ad campaign. But Ohio State had 14 guys go to the NFL. Texas had 12. So I think if you're turning on the TV tomorrow and you're expecting to see some of the same, you're not. Although Ohio State hopefully has the best player on the field playing wide receiver. So what do you expect in these games early on? Because, I mean, you're churning over the roster every year. And so, just you know, like, guys have to have the jitters for games like this, especially, or maybe not. I don't know. Maybe they're that. But there's got to be some nerves going into tomorrow's game.
Well, of course there are. Of course there is, Andy. I mean, you know, here's the thing. We all know what they're feeling. You and I have been asked and answered.
You and I have been asked and answered those kind of questions a million times. Are y'all still hearing me, by the way?
We are, yes.
Yes.
Right. Okay. I'm feeling we're
being switched to a speaker.
You're on Bluetooth.
My phone suddenly flipped. Let me get that off a flip, okay?
Okay.
I did take it off a flip. We all know
what's going on in terms of the big questions going into the game. Who's going to handle the atmosphere the best right on down the line? Which starting quarterback is going to be less shaky? I think they're both going to be shaky. I mean, 105,000, maybe 10, 12, 13 million people watching on television. Both pregame shows are here. You got Lee Corso putting on a headgear for the final time. By the way, did you see where they made him fly Southwest instead of sending a jet for him?
No, they did?
Well, I don't know if they made him. He may have opted for Southwest.
Oh, okay.
And then pocketed the rest of the charter money.
Wait, no. That was only umpires in the 90s, right? We're Major League Baseball umpires.
It was NBA.
NBA
too. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I digress. I always digress. The bottom line is, there are all these things going into this. I think it helps that Ohio State has the home field advantage. I think the atmosphere tomorrow, there are going to be a lot of Texas fans. There's a lot of Texas fans already here. They were here last night, and in different restaurants and bars and stuff across the way. There's some in the lobby of this hotel I just spoke at in their banquet room. So, bottom line is, it's going to be a hell of an atmosphere. Who handles the atmosphere best? early on so that you don't get a cheapie. You don't want to give up a cheapie, no matter what, in a game like this, by being too bold too early. But then past that, now do you settle down? Who settled down best? And like you said, Jeremiah Smith. But the thing about Jeremiah Smith, yeah, they can line up and maybe toss the ball to him or hand it to him a couple times. But he's pretty much, and this is another trivia thing for people to understand, he's pretty much at the whims of the quarterback getting him the ball, being a wide receiver. I might have said this on your show a couple of weeks ago. If it came down to you could play this game, but the only way you play it is you either get to have Caleb Downs on the field or Jeremiah Smith on the field. The guy asked me this, which one would you pick? I said I'd go Caleb Downs because I think Ohio State is loaded at wide receiver, and somebody, Carnell Tate, Brandon Ennis, one of those younger guys, Mylon Graham, Quincy Porter, one of those guys could step up, and they've also got a great tight end transfer in Max Clair, who I'm really looking forward to playing. But I think this defense, with 8 new starters, really, really needs and will benefit from having Caleb Downs on the field tomorrow and directing traffic, much less making plays. So, you know, there's all kinds of ways you can look at this game. The bottom line is it's hard to wrap your head around this game, just like y'all are asking me to try to wrap this game around your head myself like a turban or something. It's hard for me to do that because it's really hard for me to picture exactly what these teams are going to look like, especially when they line up against each other.
Tim May is joining us from Letterman Row. Last year, Will Howard comes in, transfers in from Kansas State. 1 year, does a great job running the offense, pretty mobile to go along with pretty big build, Tim, and did a nice job in his 1 year. Julian Sain sat there and watched. What can Buckeye fans expect from Julian Sain? What do you think of him so far and what you've seen?
I don't know, because deep in the recesses of my brain where my inner laughing line goes along, I'm still picturing you in a turban.
Thank you very much. Anything on my head would be an improvement.
Yeah, but it's still pretty funny. You know, Baskin's over there, Baskin and Robbins. you know, what, you want vanilla or chocolate?
Baseball. There was some kind of baseball thing that I liked.
Sprinkles.
Oh, gold medal ribbon. That was one.
I want sprinkles.
I'm not letting you. I'm not giving you anything free at the store anymore if you keep talking like this.
Exactly. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I just my brain works.
That's what I used
weird.
To say to kids when they made fun of me when I was little.
Yeah, exactly. Can we get free ice cream at your store, Mr. Basket?
Sure. Yeah. Go tell them I sent you. That's what I would say.
Exactly. By the way, Moose Spahn's doing pretty good right now. I'll tell him you said hi, Andy.
Okay. Is he standing next to you? Because this conversation's all over the place at this point. So
yeah, it is. No, I just want to let you know.
Oh, okay. Yes.
I wanted to get that in.
Good. Okay.
You know how you're going to make a point and then you don't?
Yes. That's the story of my life. This is Jeff's world.
Welcome to my part of the show.
One big date where you got that ring in your pocket, but you forget to ask her to marry you. You know what I mean? You got to do it all over again.
Yeah.
Damn, I knew I was forgetting something. yeah, I mean, I think we're all curious on how Julius Sain's going to play. What he picked up from Will Howard. But you guys all know this. Number one, Ohio State, you know, it's just obvious. Ohio State recruits pretty damn good players at quarterback or goes out and gets one, like Justin Fields, like Will Howard. C.J. Stroud was recruited out of California, a little bit of a lesser name, but, you know, Ryan Day knew what he was all about and went and got him. Julian Sain is the same kind of guy. He's like he's now 6'1", about 211 pounds. He's like 10 pounds heavier than he was, maybe 15 pounds heavier than he was this time a year ago. Lincoln Keno's the same guy. He's body by Marotti, man. He's really improved physically. Mm. But the point is about Julian Sain, yeah, you got to watch. By the end of the year, Will Howard was the best quarterback in college football. He wasn't at the beginning of the year. I think he would even tell you that. Ohio State would definitely tell you that. But he developed as the year went on. Ohio State literally changed the way he threw the football, physically threw the football as the year went on. Billy Fessler, you know, that was basically the ipso facto quarterback coach. Now he's the true quarterback coach, but under Chip Kelly was the ipso facto quarterback coach. And they worked on him mechanically all year long, worked on his reads and things like that because, you know, Kansas State was pretty much a one-read-and-run kind of quarterback, but he developed. And you saw what he became I mean, the four games in the playoffs, did anybody ever play it better at Ohio State, that position, than he did in those four games? I say no. And Troy Smith pretty damn close, but he only, you know, he lost the big one. Hmm. But the bottom line is, yeah, I mean, I think Julian Sain was paying attention, but each one of these guys is their own guy. You can you can have a race car, and you can set it up for one guy, but it may not fit the other guy. Now, Julian Sain's got his hands on the steering wheel and his feet on the gas pedal, and how hard are you going to press that gas pedal? I'm staying with that analogy until somebody cuts me off.
That's true. Well, you've covered auto racing enough. You're allowed to say that. How close was the battle between Julian and Lincoln? Who knows?
We could find out
tomorrow if Julian doesn't play well. Do you think Ryan would you know?
No.
Okay.
CJ Stroud had a horrible first half against Minnesota at Minnesota in 2021. You know, send in Kyle McCord, a true freshman. People on Twitter were going crazy, or X, or whatever it's called. And, you know, CJ Stroud turned out to be pretty damn good. He played very well in the second half, and then had a really great game throwing the ball against Oregon. It's just the defense couldn't stop Oregon the next week. But the bottom line is, you got to let these guys. These guys are going to make mistakes. Both of these starting quarterbacks are going to make mistakes, and they may even have a turnover. You can't let them have a bunch of turnovers. But, you know, it's the idea that Lincoln Kinos is better. Well, Ryan Day and Brian Hartline, the offensive coordinator, and Billy Fessler, the quarterback coach, but mainly Ryan Day, fellas, y'all all know this. Y'all cover the Browns. Y'all have covered football. The head coach decides who the starting quarterback is. And Ryan Day identified him as the starting quarterback, but told us all along Lincoln Kinos was having a tremendous preseason camp. But we all expected, when it came down to just standing there in the pocket and delivering strikes, we all thought Julian Sain ultimately was going to have the advantage, and that really is probably what put him over the top. That doesn't mean the other guy is not any good. It just means they're starting Julian Sain August 30th, 2025, against number one ranked Texas in Ohio Stadium.
How about having to replace a couple of guys who were high draft picks in the NFL at running back in Travion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins?
Well, yeah. Are they going to pick up the blitz? First thing is, are they going to pick up the blitz like those two guys did, like no other running backs before them in Ohio State history, in my opinion? Maybe Jamar Martin as a fullback,
mm-hmm.
but two running backs who are willing to pay the price, picking up the pass rush before then going out or into the pass pattern. And, oh, by the way, both were supreme at running back last year, especially in the playoffs. So those are huge shoes to fill. James Peoples, as I call him, the People's Choice.
Mm-hmm.
I like that nickname. Just like with Julian Sain, I call him Just Sain. You know, he looks like he gets the first shot. He reminds you in a lot of ways of J.K. Dobbins. He's even from this great state of Texas, the north suburbs of San Antonio. He was there last year, got to play a little bit. Now he gets to play with the first team. That's got to feel like going from a cold shower to a warm shower, right? I mean, golly, you know, for a running back, the worst thing you get is the ball head in your hands and a guy standing right in front of you who's wearing the other jersey. But the bottom line is they're pretty high on him. They're high on C.J. Donaldson, the transfer from West Virginia. And, by the way, a guy y'all are familiar with.
Here it comes, say it.
Pro football fans and, by the way, Major League Baseball fans and Hall of Fame fans should be familiar with a name, Bo Jackson. So, maybe the third string running back tomorrow. So
get him in. Like I want to see him.
As a true freshman, he's made too many plays in the spring and preseason camp not to get a shot, you know, in some form or fashion. But we all know how these games go. Big game like this, there's a propensity for any coach to be a little bit tight of making sure you got the right guys in there, the veteran guys, so that the youngster doesn't make a mistake. Well, you know what? Julian Sain's a youngster, and so is Bo Jackson. If he can help you, give you a little bit of something, a little bit of spice when you need it the most, you put him in the game.
But Bo's behind Peoples and Donaldson. There's like no question, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And then, you know, they got another guy named Turbo Rogers. That's his nickname, Turbo. And it's aptly named Turbo. He's probably not going to play tomorrow, but they like his potential maybe down the row in the season. The bottom line is he came in, he was a freshman, came in, and, you know, basically in June,
I was a late enrollee, as they call them now, instead of early enrollees.
All right, hey, Tim, funny. I'm going to give you a little tiny piece of trivia. What do James Peoples, the running back, and Taylor Swift have in common?
Oh, boy.
They both think Travis Kelce is the bomb.
Close. Travis Kelce and James Peoples' dad, both quarterbacks at Cleveland Heights High School. Just saying. Had to throw that in there.
Okay. Now that's trivia.
That's good stuff, isn't it? Come on.
Travis Kelce and James Peoples' dad were both quarterbacks at Cleveland Heights.
That is correct.
Hey, who else came from Cleveland Heights that's famous? I'm trying to remember.
I don't got nobody else. There's a lot of other famous people.
I know.
Sherry Carter, who was on BAT.
Sean Young.
Sean Young was there. Yeah.
Did Thomas Powell go to Cleveland Heights? I can't remember where he went.
Bedford.
Bedford. That's right, Bedford. That's right.
Hey, a pleasure.
A sleepy little suburb named Bedford. Go ahead now.
There you go.
Enjoy the game. We can't wait to talk to you next week.
Thanks, man.
I can't wait to talk to you guys. I always enjoy it. And now I've got pictures of you guys with turbans on your head. It doesn't get any better than this, ladies and gentlemen.
Still doesn't make us any smarter. That's the problem.
Goodbye, Tim. Thanks,
goodbye.
Buddy.
See you, fellas.
Tim May, anxious to see Julian Sain. As he said, just saying.
Yep.
I am, too. Welcome back to Baskin and Phelps. Jeff Phelps here, Andy Baskin over there. This Ohio State season should be fascinating, Andy. Think about how good they were last year. Think about the guys who left the team and went to the NFL. And they have a lot of guys to replace. You have a starting quarterback who is now with the Steelers, injured, but with the Steelers. You have one running back in New England. You have another running back who might be joining the Browns at some point. Both high draft choices. That's tough. I did, and it always fascinates me to look at offensive linemen. What do they feed these kids?
Chipotle, didn't we find that out yesterday?
Yes, actually. Yeah. According to depth charts that are out right now, every Ohio State offensive lineman listed on there two deep. And so two guys at each position. Every guy is at least 300 pounds and 6'4". And that's the little guy. He's a center. That's unbelievable.
I'm wondering.
Remember when offensive linemen used to weigh 245, 250?
Yeah, those days are long gone. The game tomorrow, I think, and this is something that I asked Tim about, it nerves. And like when you walk into a game like this and you have guys that haven't started before or are about to start but have always been successful, and then you place them into a place like the Shoe on Saturday, there's a part of me that wonders, is the anxiety for Ohio State to want to, first of all, they're coming off the national championship, right? So you look at that scenario and you ask yourself, okay, Ohio State should have an advantage here because, you know, you know the surroundings, you know it's your home, you have the fans, and you have everything going for you as far as comfort is concerned. Then you take a look at it from the other side. If you're Texas, like, I think the greatest thing you can do as a road team is silence. When you don't hear anything, that means you're unbelievably successful. And so, like, I wonder, who's the pressure really on tomorrow? Is it a revamped Ohio State team? Is it a revamped Texas team in some ways? Is the pressure on, you know, people think Ohio State isn't going to repeat this year? Right? The pollsters will tell you that. They think Penn State's the best team in the Big Ten. Then you bring Texas in. A lot of people think that Texas might be the best team in the country, especially if Arch Manning is what Arch. There are just so many different little storylines going into this game that make it unbelievably fascinating. And I just think the quicker you get into the end zone, the easier the game is going to be for whoever scores first. And it's just, I think it's really simple because they'll be able to let the nerves go. How many times have you heard a guy say, I just want to get out there and I just want to get hit, so that way I can just concentrate on the game and not worry about anything else that's going on.
Play football like they've played their entire lives.
That's right. And you forget about everything else around you.
Ryan is in Central Ohio. Ryan, obviously a hardworking guy who travels the country and apparently independently wealthy as well.
Yes, Rhino.
Hey, thanks for the introduction, man. Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
Hi, Ryan.
Manigan, congratulations on the steal of the NFL. And Andy, OH.
I-O, my friend, I-O.
There you go, man.
I don't know what to do with my hands. Yes.
I'm looking forward to the game tomorrow, man. Going to be there, just well as a lot of other of us going to be there. It's going to be an atmosphere like nothing you could explain. I know it's not prison of the moment. This is probably the biggest opening game in Buckeye history. I mean, the national championship, obviously, just the party atmosphere against the best team in the nation, Arch Manning. I mean, I know it's going to be at noon. Sorry, L.A. Phoenix. I guess that's the, you know, the four-letter station doesn't care about you guys. But again, noontime kickoff, it's going to be off the charts. It's equivalent to hypothetically, I don't know if anyone remembers late October, obviously, when the Cavs and obviously the Guardians were in the World Series. Just the atmosphere is going to be off the charts tomorrow. And again, a lot of scenarios just involved with Arch Manning, Julian saying, just a whole bunch of plethora of stuff. It's just going to be an awesome atmosphere. I'm thinking, you know, I really feel it's going to be a small ball type of game, where running is going to be the ideology of both with Texas and Ohio State. I feel that these two young quarterbacks, obviously coming into a high-profile game, just the butterflies in their stomach, I'm not really sure if we're going to see some, you know, fireworks like we all anticipate with Arch Manning launching the ball and running around. Same thing with Julian Sain coming out as seeing what he can do. But at the same time, my God, it's football's back, dude. This is going to be an awesome atmosphere. I don't know what you're doing, Andy, but I'm getting there tonight, going to some good bars with some good live bands, getting up early in the morning, watching the four-letter station College Game Day, saying goodbye to Lee Corso. It's just awesome atmosphere. Anyone who's getting out there, man, it's going to be a blast. But anyway, guys, great show as always. Go Buckeyes.
Yeah. All right, Ryan. Thank you very much.
I'm trying to think of other games. Like almost, there was a big game. It was like 99. They played Miami in a kickoff classic. And Ohio State lost that game, and they got beat by Miami pretty good in that game early. And they were both like top 15 teams to start the season. But I really can't remember a game like this early in the season. Just the whole atmosphere. It feels like a national championship game to start the season. You're right. You know, I think you put it best. It's Daytona. This is Daytona 500.
It's strange,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right on that.
One thing I'm looking forward to this year, and I'm not an Ohio State big time fan. I always watch Ohio State if I'm home and available. If they win, that's terrific. If they lose, doesn't ruin my day. I didn't go to Ohio State, but certainly they are the university, the big university in our state, and certainly the big athletic program in our state. But it always bothered me the way Ohio State fans would get all over Ryan Day. And most of it involved, you know, a Michigan game.
Mm-hmm.
And I am so happy for that guy that they bounced back from losing to Michigan in a bad loss. You know, they should have beaten Michigan, but they didn't. And then they win the national championship, and they roll. And they look great.
I mean, I'll argue it's the greatest run in college football history.
I thought it was outstanding.
Every team's right. I don't know what more you could ask for.
I think the guy's a really good coach, a really good college coach. And I was fearful for Ohio State that the passion of Ohio State fans would chase him out of town because he didn't beat the rival. And I think winning the national championship will calm some of that. I think it should calm some of that because you got a really good coach. As Bill Bender told us earlier in the show, you know, I asked him, I said, okay, you lost twice in the regular season, yet you still won the national championship. And as Bill said, the NFL style of football is coming into big-time college football, where you can lose a game or two, and you can win the whole thing, and nobody worked. For instance, Ohio State lost to Oregon in the regular season last year.
Right.
And Dylan Gabriel. And then smoked them in the playoffs.
But, I mean, that was like a fraction of a second loss.
Right.
I mean,
it was a great game and a one-point game.
Fantastic game.
Yeah, it was a really good game.
I think
But people were holding that against Ryan Day.
Yeah.
Rather than, man, that was a great football game. You know? It's like, well, you lost. You lost to Oregon. Okay, it was a great football game. And it might be this, Andy.
Yeah.
How often does a team go undefeated in the National Football League? Like, never.
Once?
Never. The Miami Dolphins.
Yeah.
You know? Almost never. And it might become that way in big-time college football, where, hey, your national champ lost once or twice, or maybe even three times if they I am too.
I like it.
I do think college football fans are going to have to rethink what they think a little bit.
Well, I think smart Ohio State fans throughout the years, no matter how much you hated Michigan, you wanted Michigan to win during the regular season, and you still want them to win during the regular season because you want that last game to be as important.
Be that huge.
It's just not as important now as it used to be.
No, it's not.
Because if you lose the game, you still got a chance for the playoffs, and you know, not like you had to play in the Big Ten championship. I think the other thing to look at for Ohio State.
It does, the new system does diminish slightly the value of certain critical, you know, games.
I'm convinced.
If the Buckeyes lose tomorrow, get smoked, they're going to the playoffs. You would assume.
They can't get smoked too many times. But
no,
yeah,
I agree. But I don't expect them to. Do you?
No. I also think that one of the other things to watch in tomorrow's game is to see how Ohio State, it's different players, so I think that changes things. But you talked about Brian Hartline for a second. Don't forget Matt Patricia is the new defensive coordinator at Ohio State, too.
How does that work?
It's amazing to me how many former NFL guys have jumped back into college to want to do that.
It's become the, all right, let me take a different step and regroup and then see where it goes from there.
I wonder if NIL has changed that. Has like made it easier for those coaches to say, you know what, all right, we can pay these guys to come here now, and it's a little bit easier to want to be. I think recruiting in college football has got to be one of the hardest jobs on earth.
Oh yeah, especially now.
There's just, you know, and to be able to seal the deal to get a guy to come to your school, I just think it's amazing. But it's not about getting a guy to come to your school from a high school anymore. Where things where it's like the parents and coaches are talking and saying, hey, look, for the next 4 years, we want to. No, it's, hey, is Mike, because the pressure, I think, on the recruiter and on the school now is, you know, parents want their kids to play right away. And that's why I really respect the Mannings because of the way they've handled this thing with Arch, because I don't think they thought he was ready last year. And they still question, you know, if he's ready for the NFL. So that whole recruiting process thing has changed, too. I just think it's extremely difficult. And, you know, you've got pressure from here and there and there. That getting guys to play for you in college now, I think it's got to be harder than it's ever been before, except for the top-notch programs, because guys want to play there. But still, you could be like, oh, I'm going to go to Alabama, or am I going to Ohio State, or am I going to... And so it's even tougher there, too. I just think it's an unbelievably twisted world right now that we live in for college football, but yet it all isn't on display tomorrow, and we don't care about any of that stuff. We just want to watch Ohio State play Texas.
Mike is in Stowe, home of the Bulldogs. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey.
Andy, very, very astute. I love what you're getting into there. I agree with what you said, too, Jeff. I love to disagree with you guys once in a while, but you guys are all over today. Like, the Ohio State game, I really, I'm looking so forward to it. It's going to be exciting as all can be. I wish it wasn't a 12. That does kind of stink, man, but it is what it is. But I wanted to say a couple things about what you guys are kind of going into. I do think, Andy, it's amazing, like, what Mr. Day's recruiting is where it stands above. I mean, you're going to see it this, you know, tomorrow, you're going to see it. It's like, we lost all those players, but it's going to be like, we didn't lose anything. You wait and see. The way he's able to do this, you know, before the NIL and now with the NIL, the transition, and stay at the top of his game, we're lucky to have him. We really, really are. I'm one of the guys, people that's more appreciative of them. And I wish we could beat Michigan, and we're going to do it this year. But I wish we'd done it before, and it does stink, but look, as soon as you would lose that game again, I could see it happening again though, Jeff, which is not fair.
Yeah. Don't let them rent any space in your head. Ohio State's the defending national champions, and the run they made last year was just sick. It was unbelievable.
Yep, I agree.
It was. And for him to, you know, keep reloading in spite of all of that criticism, you know, to stay focused as he did, you know, you heard it. Everybody wanted his head. You know, everybody nationally was big clown. Nobody was calling for us to run the tables in the championship, let alone beat who we beat on the way there. And he was at the top of it. So,
Mike, thank you very much.
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah. It was fun to watch. And I'm curious if they have a chance to do it again, because they lost some really key guys, especially on that offensive side of the ball, who were big time talents. It's Baskin and Phelps here on the Fan.